This week on Super Skull, we drive over the garden wall and load up our six shooters to review Colt Express.
Outstanding. All righty, welcome to Super Skull, your weekly new comic day audio digest.
I love it. No, keep going.
From Vault of Midnight, Earth's finest comic books and stuff. Since 1996, recorded in partnership with the Ann Arbor District Library.
Are we doing this?
Yes.
No, we're not doing this.
No, keep it going. That was wonderful. Why would you stop that? That was amazing.
My name is Carson Daly. I'm joined by Caviar Onassis.
Oh, yeah. We're going to keep using that one. Thank you. Nice.
I think we did stumble onto the best nickname for you last week, my friend Curtis.
Which is what?
Caviar Onassis.
Oh, we're going to say, oh, yeah. That's not bad. Somebody called me that in the shop.
I think it's outstanding.
I've decided that no matter what you call me, somebody will call me that at the comic shack.
Do we have that power?
I think so.
I'm trying to be very careful with it because it's a big responsibility.
That's right.
I could make, apparently, and I think it's only because I didn't know I had the power is why it worked.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever stupid shit I make up for you.
That's right. I see the gleam in your eyes.
Oh, man.
Think of Uncle Ben, okay?
What would Uncle Ben say?
Yeah. With great power,
you can make Curtis look like a dipshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fish sticks. Curtis. Fish sticks Sullivan. I like it.
I like some fish sticks.
Yeah.
There we go.
So once we've acknowledged it out loud, though, I don't think we get the power anymore. So I'm pretty sure it's over.
I mean, if people wanted to call Curtis fish sticks, they could.
We had a great show this week. We're going to talk about some comic books, as we always do. Every Wednesday is new comic book day. We go over what's coming out. Talk about some brand new issues. We go over a big selection, a cross section, if you will, of books that have been released. We're going to talk about Marvel Comics and the last days of Marvel Comics, specifically an imprint of the Secret Wars. We had a listener question about the last days of Marvel.
Wow, that sounds ominous.
We're also going to do a review of the Spiel des Jahres 2015 winner, Colt Express.
Whoop, whoop.
Nice.
That was my train noise.
Oh, that was that's what that was.
Whoop, whoop.
That's pretty good, man.
That's pretty good.
Little secret about Marcus P. Schwimmer. Mm-hmm. I do have the superpower that when I brush my teeth, I can make my mouth sound like a locomotive.
Oh, cool.
It's actually surprisingly convincing. I've, what? Talk to me.
I thought your superpower was going to be that you could make a really dope train noise with your mouth.
I can, but I have to have a toothbrush.
I see.
I think your superpower is to just say impossible shit that makes my head want to explode.
Wait, I'm going to bring a toothbrush next week.
You've got to
do
and
it.
You will see, it is a very...
This is while you're brushing your teeth? Do you have to be brushing your teeth?
It is a combination of mouth movement and brush stroke that makes the train noise.
I see. Interesting.
Interesting. Let's move on to our big picks. And speaking of mouth noises, old brush mouth. What do you got for us? What'd you
pick
this week?
I picked Drive by IDW. It's one of a four-part series. You may recognize this title from a movie starring...
Ryan the Gaz Gosling.
My second favorite famous Ryan.
Who's your first favorite Ryan?
Ryan Reynolds.
That is ridiculous.
Anyway.
Either way. I like this story. I like the movie immensely. And let me tell you what, the comic kind of has that same feel. I will say it hasn't won me 100% yet. But if you like dope car art and you liked the movie, this has a really nice similar feel.
So this looks like an adaptation of the novel.
The novel, correct.
Not the film.
So right. Different.
There are some definite differences between the two, but this character from Drive, this main character, the silent driver.
The silent hunk.
Yeah. It's really intriguing. And they do some stuff in the comic that I'm not 100% sold on. You like get to hear his internal monologue a lot. And that can be a little distracting from a character who we know to mostly be like this silent, very observant guy. But man, the cover. So you guys know I'm a sucker for architecture art, right? We've talked about this. This cover's got a beautiful cityscape that just like draws you right into the comic.
It does.
And it's great. The art's beautiful.
Who's the artiste?
The artist is Antonio Fuso.
Mm.
Great name.
Lovely name.
Who's the writer?
Michael Benedetto.
Yeah. Is that right? Is that how you pronounce that?
Benedetto. I'm pretty sure that's how you say it. Yeah. How would you pronounce it?
Benedetto?
I think it's... I don't... Maybe.
Well.
Maybe. But both of them really kill
it. Benedetto, Benedetto. Let's call the whole thing off.
That's what they say.
You know that old chestnut?
Yeah. It's wonderful. And there's a great little letter section in the back from the original writer and talking about its adaptation.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, super, super cool. If you like this kind of stuff, this, you know, I like architecture drawings and I'm a little bit of a car dude. This comic scratches both of those itches in a really wonderful way.
It threw me for a loop a little bit.
Yeah.
Because one of the neat things about the movie is how little we get from that dude.
Yep.
From the main character, from the Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. The Gos.
From the Gos. I don't want to call him that.
His name's like, what's his name in that movie? Beyond
the Pines.
Call him
the driver? Oh, from what's the name of the character from Beyond the Pines?
It's like Handsome Jack or like, anyways, another Gosling movie that's awesome.
Pinecone.
It's not Pinecone.
That's it. I'm pretty sure it's Pinecone.
So he, we just don't get anything from him, and he seems kind of weird and a little messed up and a little unnerving. Like maybe he's not all there.
Totally.
Like he's a really good looking dude in the movie. He's very competent. He's sweet at driving, but like maybe he's nuts. Or
he's emotionally weird.
Yeah, like there's something wrong with him. And he just, in this, and I haven't read the novel, which is this is adapting for, so maybe the vibe of the novel is just like totally different.
Yeah, for sure.
But the sense that you get from this is that he's a pretty normal dude. You get a lot of his, whereas in the movie he's mostly silent.
Yeah.
In this we have an inner monologue going. He talks a lot more in this than he does in the film.
I'm going to buy the book, the novella.
Well,
I'll read it, then I'll hand it off to you.
And then you'll have read the comic, the book, and the movie.
Yeah, wow. I think it's a worthy story. But
yeah, you'll be ready to drive.
I'm not a good driver.
I haven't read the book, and I'm more interested in this comic now that I know that it's based on the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say.
Well, it was different. There are some subtle differences from the movie. So if you have seen the movie and dug it and want more but don't want the same shit.
Yeah.
Right.
I think I was expecting like a sequel or something, which is dumb.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't know why would you
do a sequel?
I will just say, even if you're not planning on reading the book, come in and check out the cover because it does a really cool thing with like traveling.
Yeah.
You literally travel this cover and it's really cool how they do it.
What do you mean?
Well, the top part is the cityscape with the car, right? And the car is driving into the city. And then the second bottom panel, you're like in the city. So you're traveling the cover into this point and then you're here.
Now, is the first page a continuation of what's going on in the cover there? Oh, okay.
No, it's just, this is interesting to me how on one panel you're literally, they're like showing you the route that you're taking, and then at the bottom you end up in that spot. I like that a lot.
Interesting.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So they're doing something on the cover.
Yep. Drive number one, part one of four from IDW. Check it out. It's $3.99. The art alone, really cool. If you don't know anything about this character, this could be a cool way to get into it.
Yeah. I wouldn't say you're a bad driver, Marcus.
I'm a slow driver.
You're a timid driver.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't like breaking the law in any way.
You're a little persnickety about the law and the rules.
I like to follow both those things.
Yeah. You're a straight shooter. I don't know what that means.
So
if Christian was here though, he'd want us to mention that Nicholas Refn, the director of the movie Drive, is awesome. And then watching that movie Drive sent me personally down a road of Nicholas Refn films.
You drove down the Nicholas Refn road.
I did. Yeah. So
cool.
Great director. Check out Valhalla Rising.
Oh, God. We said we were going to watch that movie. We haven't watched that movie yet.
We need to sit down, turn all the lights out, and not speak.
I'll bring some dark ale, some dark ale brewskis to get us through it.
That's right.
God, that is a good fucking movie.
Yeah, you have to go. It's a real 2001.
Yeah.
You got to sink on down into it.
What do you guys think? Can we talk about comic books?
Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
Sorry.
On the comic book podcast?
Yeah. So that was Drive number one. That was Marcus's big pick of the week.
From IDW.
Yeah. Lovely.
Let's move on to your pick. Curtis, do you have one?
I do. It's from Kaboom, also known as Boom.
Kaboom.
Kaboom Boom. That's Over the Garden Wall, number one of four.
Another four-part.
We love Over the Garden Wall. They did a one-shot a while ago that we all loved. It's got by this guy named Pat McHale. It's illustrated by this dude named Jim Campbell. It's really cute. There's an animated feature, Nick.
There is.
Help me out
so
here.
The same dude, Pat McHale,
created
and wrote this. It was like a 10-part series. It's about an hour and a half in total.
Okay.
But it was spaced out over the course of like a week or something like that. They're little 10-12-minute episodes. And it is a magical, amazing experience. If you haven't seen Over the Garden Wall, take an hour and a half. It's just like, it's watching a movie. It's nothing. You have time to watch it.
I want to make time.
It is so goddamned good. It's about these two brothers, and they're on an adventure, and you don't know much else, but it's about It's about being brothers. It's about death. It's about alienation. It's about a lot of stuff.
It's about growing up.
It's about growing up.
It's got adventure.
It's about taking action and not being able to take action. It's got a little bit of a Hamlet thing going on.
That's true. Nice.
It's a really fantastic cartoon.
Yeah, the brothers are Rit and Greg.
Wirt.
Wirt, even though it's W-I-R-T.
Mm-hmm.
Wirt. Great name.
Great name.
And they hang out with this sparrow who's kind of a jerk, a bluebird.
Yeah. It's the best character in the book, man.
Yeah. He's a real smart aleck.
It's a she.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's hilarious.
So you are loving these comics, and
so
you
much.
Have seen none of this stuff.
Seen none of the cartoons.
This bodes well for how good these comics are. Yeah. They totally stand on their own.
This comic kills. The art is hysterical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if there was no words, you would laugh at these pictures.
Yeah. And the neat thing about the show is that, so they're on this, like, they're lost in these woods, basically, for an indeterminate amount of time, and they're having all of these different adventures. They're running into all these people. And there's a beginning and an ending of their trip through the woods in the TV show. But because, like, time is so weird, and because they're going through this weird experience adventure, there's room for infinite stories in these woods. So you can do this kind of stuff forever.
Hmm.
Because who knows? They were in the woods for an infinite amount of time,
yeah.
Basically.
Right.
I love it.
I love it when somebody builds a world where the rules are set up in such a way they can do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I did not think I was going to like this book very much.
And?
Why didn't you think that?
Because
you hate whimsy.
No. Maybe. I clumped it. I thought maybe it was just a little bit more of the Adventure Time stuff, which isn't my jam.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I thoroughly enjoy this book.
I would kind of put this...
This scratches a much better, bigger... This scratches an itch for me that Adventure Time does not.
Pat McHale worked on Adventure Time, if I'm not mistaken. I am checking that now, but yeah, I'm pretty sure that he
did. I would say this leans a little more towards like Wild's End almost than it does towards Adventure Time.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it's like a little bit, like it definitely has a modern day sarcasm in its writing.
Yeah.
But it I think it falls a little bit more into the traditional fairy tale line.
True.
That's what he's playing off.
Yeah, for sure. And I liked it a lot. I thought it was really great. It was a nice little twist. The humor for me was a little bit more relatable and enjoyable, and I really dug it. I really dug it.
So, yeah. What else? Did Pat McHale, what did he work on?
So he worked on, do you remember The Marvelous Misadventures of Flapjack?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah, that's another show
I can see that now.
Hate.
And it's so great.
It was really, really good.
It's incorrigibly good.
He actually, Pat McHale, who did write this comic, Pat McHale, helped develop the Adventure Time short into the full animated series.
Wow.
So he was there, like, from the get-go to get Adventure Time off the ground. He's done a bunch of different stuff.
This guy's cool. Flapjack is not to be missed.
Flapjack is phenomenal. And Flapjack is like the progenitor of this kind of modern cartoon wave that we're having in a lot of ways. Because it predates Adventure Time. And a lot of that talent went over to Adventure Time. We can get into a whole thing. But
hey, cool. He worked on Costume Quest too?
Well, he's going to be. He's going to an 11-minute adaptation of Costume Quest.
Cool.
We're getting this off of a Wikipedia page, so.
Well, Pat McHale is a super G.
Oh, man, and he's 31.
What a jerk face.
What a dick.
Yep.
Yeah.
I haven't done crap.
Anyways.
Oh, Marcus.
I haven't done crap. 28.
Oh, no, you're doing great, buddy.
Thanks, man.
No, we're doing stuff. It's all good. So, Over the Garden Wall, the first one came out 6 months ago.
I was good encouragement.
You're doing fine, buddy. Moving
Thanks,
on.
Dude.
You're doing good.
Who does the art on this book? I dig the art.
Yeah, it's
immensely.
Super nice. Jim Campbell is the guy's name.
Jesus, the art's really great. So the characters, the main characters, or I should say the talking characters, have a little bit more of that traditional cartoon look, but the backdrop that he imposes them on is... so beautiful and fleshed out. I really dig it.
I just like that they hang out with a bird and a frog. And the frog never talks, but he does talk because the one brother's having like full conversations with the frog that never says anything.
Yeah, maybe he talks, maybe he doesn't.
That is so funny.
Yeah, really cool.
In every episode, he changes the name of the frog. He decides that his frog is... In this one, he calls him like Detective Solveless and Professor Give Up. I can't remember what he calls him. Detective Solveless.
Yeah.
Because they can't solve the mystery.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
So that's Over the Garden Wall from Kaboom.
Yeah, it's one of four, you guys. We ordered a ton. I want to just... put on my retailer pants and say, get it fast.
The last one, yeah, went fast.
We got the special and we ordered a ton. It sold out like in 3 days. It was ridiculous.
And have people asking about that one shot to this day.
Still.
Oh, yeah.
And it's never coming back.
Never.
It's completely out of print. But now there's new stuff. Now there's new Over the Garden Wall.
Ooh, speculation. This is a four-parter. Maybe they'll do a nice trade with the four and the special. That would be so nice of them to do. Kaboom, I hope you're listening. Do that. That would be great of you.
This font is excellent on the cover. I really like that.
Oh, man. Just the design of the show, the music in the show.
I'm going to watch it.
You would like it.
I'm going to watch it.
I'm calling it now.
Nick, you think you have me figured out.
I actually 100% have you figured out, my
really?
Friend. I'm sorry.
You think?
I 100% have you figured out. Not every aspect of your
life
and soul.
No, but in my entertainment choices.
What you're going to like and what you're not going to like?
You have it figured out.
100%.
Wow.
Yeah. I've got it. I am fucking dialed in.
Well, that was my big pick of the week. Over the Garden Wall, number one.
Yeah.
From Boom Studios. Their imprint, Kaboom. Their all ages imprint.
Okay.
That's what cool. I got.
Nick, what do you got for us this week, my man?
My pick this week, Hank Johnson.
Can I say that I think this was a little bit all of our picks?
You can. Can I finish saying the title?
Yeah, sorry.
Hank Johnson, Agent of Hydra.
I didn't know if you were going to finish the title.
I was thinking about not.
Dramatic pause.
I was thinking about taking my headphones off and walking away.
Great cover on Hank Johnson.
Is this a Secret Wars book?
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain this is going to be a one-shot.
I hope it seems
one-shotty, but...
It was really good. So this is the story of a henchman.
Yeah.
A Hydra henchman.
Yep.
And in the opening pages, he gets beat up by Nick Fury, and... Then he's got to go home to his wife and kids after getting beat up by Nick Fury.
Again.
And then life goes on.
Yeah.
And he's arguing with his wife about money, and they have to, you know, take the kids to school functions.
Yep.
And he's got to navigate work politics while, screaming Hail Hydra.
Yeah.
He's got to go to the funeral of the dude that Nick Fury... Like, Nick Fury killed one dude and punched this guy in the head.
Yeah, he just got knocked out.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It was completely hilarious.
It was great. There's a scene where his son is dressed up as Captain America for Halloween. And he's like, yeah, I wonder if you'd still dress up as Captain America if you knew that Cap made Daddy, like, pee blood or something.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's just so interesting because, like, these Hydra agents in their normal lives, their non-work lives, interact with S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. And there's AIM people who work for AIM, and they all kind of interact together. And then once they go to work, they're duking it out. But once they hang up the work clothes, it's all the same.
They all have Little League teams.
Yeah,
you know,
super great.
We're going to go see a Nets game together.
Wait, you offered me those tickets. Why'd you give the tickets away? So the dude who did this is David Mandel is the writer.
Yeah.
Michael Walsh did the art, and the art is spot on. But David Mandel worked on Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm, and that vibe just runs through the whole shit. It's just like the mundanity and the pettiness and the funniness in both of those things is just, it's just soaking in it.
Yeah. Nobody's done this yet, but I think, you know, the criminal underling as a salaryman is ripe.
So
this TV show.
So Venture Brothers, have you guys seen Venture Brothers?
Yes.
No.
They've did a lot of this stuff.
Sure.
Like two of the main characters in the show are like just two faceless, nameless henchmen. Like they don't even have names, like 41 or 42 or whatever.
Right.
And I never realized that they are just totally Hydra henchmen, even down to like the goggles.
Oh.
Those guys from Venture Brothers. Anyway, it is the same idea. Like what do these guys do when they go home? Like they're thinking about their 401k and they're thinking about like, you know, promotions and shit.
Sure.
And you know, you get into this for certain reasons and then it's just like going to work, but it was completely hilarious. And Curtis, you pointed out some really nerdy, awesome shit about the beginning of this book. Could you point it out again?
Yeah. Well, so this is, who's doing the art again on this? I blanked on it.
Michael Walsh.
Well, he's doing a very serious, Jim Steranko impression
all the way through
for at least the first, you know, four pages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, one of Steranko's earliest, if not his first, Nick Fury story ever. There's some really cool stuff. Like he's aping almost panel for panel, you know, with some goofball.
Because it opens up and it looks like a Nick Fury book. He's like breaking into Hydra.
Totally.
He's beating up henchmen.
Yeah. So it's like maybe, you know, Hank is the Hydra agent in that Steranko story.
That's right. It's so cool.
It's so funny, man. Yeah, I can't stand how funny it is. So I implore people to look up Jim Steranko online, though, if you want to look at some of the best Nick Fury art in the world, and just art, period, pop art.
Yeah. I want to keep talking about funny things that happened in this book, but like, I feel like we've completely ruined all the funny parts of this book.
Don't want to give it all away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite. I didn't talk about my favorite part.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
Oh, cool. Well, anyway, that's Hank Johnson, Agent of Hydra. It's another really cool Secret Wars one-shot.
Cool. Dang, that was a good comic.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. There was another silly Secret Wars one-shot last week.
Howard the Human.
Howard the Human. Yeah,
Howard the Human.
That was somebody's pick last week.
And yeah. Secret Love, also.
That's right. That one was less funny ha-ha.
Yeah.
And more like funny aw.
Funny cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Nick, I know we try not to dog on books on this podcast too much. Can we dog on a book a little?
Maybe.
Well, let's. You know what? This might be an interesting opportunity to talk about why we don't dog on books.
Okay.
On this podcast.
Okay.
Because we don't do that. And
we try not to.
We try to make an effort to just not talk about the shit that we don't like.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
It's true.
And if I may, I think the reason is that there's already a lot of podcasts that do that. We're kind of, you know, we're here to kind of celebrate the medium.
There's a lot of good stuff.
And get you excited about the things that are coming out.
For sure.
Each week. And maybe not just to pick stuff apart. It's not that bad stuff isn't coming out. It's that we just set it aside, and we just don't talk about it on the podcast.
Okay.
We have negative feelings, but something in particular was jumping out at you.
Well,
this week?
It seems like a thing that'll happen that does happen in our medium.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that a book came out this week that I thought was trying very hard to be Lumberjanes.
Oh yeah, which
and
one?
And I'm wondering to see if we're going to get more of this. Lumberjanes was a real sleeper hit. No one knew it was coming. And then out this week from Dark Horse comes a book called Zodiac Star Force that I think is trying to channel the same audience or trying to wrangle the same audience. And it's doing a lot of the things that Lumberjanes does, but it just didn't hit the note. And I think we're going to see a lot more of this for the Lumberjanes crowd.
I think it's a fine line to do teen speak.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, and we might be keyed into it a little differently. Like, I think both you guys didn't love this, and I wasn't, like, deeply in love with it, but I think this book will definitely find an audience. I didn't think it was inherently, like, horrible, but it definitely, I felt like it was for an audience that's, you know, 25 years younger than me, and it may find an audience. It was a little gem in the hologram.
So you think it was for 25-year-olds?
Yeah, exactly. You know, No, the magical girl thing, I wonder. I'm interested to see on what kind of traction this book gets.
Okay, so this is in its build right at the top as a magical girl comic book.
Yep. Yeah.
Can you define what the magical girl genre is? Anybody comfortable doing that?
Well, I wish Charlie was here, manager Charlie at Grand Rapids. She loves magical girl stuff, but it comes from manga,
mm-hmm.
and it's any time you have a girl who has magic and uses magic in a kind of a normal environment. Like, she's the magical girl. Like, it's she's at school, but she has this ability. Or
yeah.
Cardcaptor Sakura would be, like, a great example of a magical girl comic book.
That's, like, the example of the magical girl thing, right?
If you will.
Okay.
Yeah, she captures cards and uses them and has abilities. But she lives in a normal world, you know? So it's... I'm grasping at straws here, but
why that might matter is because Curtis is right. It might be speaking to people that are into a genre of stuff that, like, I'm not very versed in
for sure.
or super into.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that this was not very good, Zodiac Star Force. Like, I thought that the characters just read super flat. But for me, it was that people do an impression of teens speaking to each other. And it's, like, as annoying as trying to make any specific type of group sound authentic when you don't know
sure.
what you're doing.
Yeah.
It just read as false to me kind of all the way through. And I didn't really care about their, you know, the crystal monsters that they were smashing. Spoiler alert, they try to smash crystal monsters.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, for us, right, we've read a lot of comics. So mm-hmm. you definitely get to a point where, like, you're starting to do that thing where, like, oh, it's like this, it's like this, it's like this. And when I read a book like this, I definitely try to think about somebody coming at it without that baggage, if you will.
Coming at it fresh. Yeah.
You haven't read 1,000 comics, so you haven't seen this story. This is the 50th time this week I've read this comic.
Yeah.
You know, sort of a thing. So it's no Lumberjanes, I'll say that. I mean, because...
I just don't know. I think that's interesting because I don't think that it's a Lumberjanes ripoff, Marcus. I think it's a it's going so hard after this other genre. But you think it's riding off the Lumberjanes coattails a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we see Lumberjanes come out, and then Gem and the Holograms comes out. And to me, like this, I wonder if we're starting to see, like, and I want books for that audience. I want good books for that audience. They you know, they deserve good books just like everyone else. But to me, this felt like there were a bunch of people in a room who were like, oh man, we really need to target that audience of people. And then this is what they put out for it. And it just, it for me, it read very flat. Yeah. I agree. But
I don't know about all of that. I know I don't. I agree with you that it was not a super strong book, but I think they're shooting for that manga audience a little bit.
Oh. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't get a manga vibe from it, but
in a comic book form.
Yeah, and we'll see. And you know, I hope we get a whole wave of books that are like this. And if we get some, maybe some not hits, that's okay. But I would love for them to.
More books starring teams of ladies kicking butt.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Keep it coming.
Let's, you know, just like anything, some of them are going to be good and some of them are going to be bad, but that's how you kind of know that we're making progress because at least they're trying, you know, in this, you know, to work within that kind of genre or with those types of characters.
Yeah, actually, and I just thought it's kind of cool to think of that they're trying to go after a specific audience.
Yeah.
And that audience is teen girls probably in a comic book store.
To read a single issue comic book.
Yeah. That's actually pretty
that
interesting.
That is pretty cool.
That's a thing to go after, even.
Yeah, because this comic book in single issue form doesn't exist really until very recently.
Right. Yep.
So those were our three picks and one not pick.
Yeah.
That was Drive from IDW. Drive number one. That was Over the Garden Wall.
Yes.
From Kaboom.
Yeah.
That was Hank Johnson, Agent of Hydra, number one, probably a one shot. And the anti-pick. I don't know if it was an anti-pick.
Oh, it was an anti-pick.
But Zodiac, Star Force from, was that Dark Horse?
It was.
Excellent.
I'm going to ask Charlie what she thinks of this. I'm interested in her opinion on a book like this.
We got to get that girl on the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, she knows what's up.
She's probably like just writhing in her chair right now, just pissed about how we're talking about Magical Girl manga and screwing it up.
That's true. When me and Charlie were doing the orders, the initial orders for this book, we both talked about it and our expectations for it and how we both were excited for it.
Yeah.
And we ordered medium heavy for both stores on Zodiac Star Force, Chuck. And a lot of it was, I was enthused, but Charlie was like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
So.
And maybe she sees things in it, or maybe she might see something in it that's in the genre that we're just missing.
Totally.
I still think it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's move on. To the pull box.
Let's do it.
It's a bunch of other comics. I'm looking at a stack of comics. Knee high to, what would you say? Like a miniature elephant?
Yeah, like a baby mini pony.
Yeah.
Baby mini pony. Nick, you want to grab anything in here? You got any strong feelings about anything? I'll start with JLA number three. This is Brian Hitch's JLA thing that he's doing. Rao, the god of Krypton, is real and he's on Earth. And
what?
Yeah, I know. And shite is hitting the fan. This has got a bombshell cover. I really like these bombshells, y'all. It's pretty good variant cover month from DC Comics.
What is a bombshell cover?
Bombshell is kind of like a reminiscent of like the good girl art from the 40s, like nose cone art on an airplane, Betty Page, this kind of thing. I just read Bombshells, DC Bombshells, the comic book from last week.
Yeah, was that last week, a couple weeks ago?
Maybe 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of bombshells, that was also really good. So JLA, number three, out this week.
Spider-Woman, number 10, is coming out. Dennis Hopeless. This has been a really good underread Spider book. They kicked it off with Spider-Verse, and they've been keeping it going. And Spider-Woman here is going to get a big change after the end of Secret Wars. So
are we in her last days?
We are. Last days, Spider-Woman. Really excellent. I would check it out.
Real quick, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but this guy Porcupine in that comic book?
In Spider-Woman
is hilarious. And then you got your dude Grizzly from Ant-Man. What other animal?
Two characters that are in Spider-Woman.
One's in Spider-Woman, Porcupine.
Oh.
Grizzly is in Ant-Man. You know the guy in the grizzly bear suit?
Yeah.
And he's always hot and he can't grab stuff none too good because he's got bear claws. That's hilarious. But where I was going with this is what if we got like a super team of all dudes dressed in ridiculous animal costumes? Just saying, Marvel. Just an idea. Free idea, Marvel.
use it or don't.
Yeah. Nick, what do you got?
Out on the Wire, the storytelling secrets of the new masters of radio.
Is this your favorite book of the year, Nick?
Why do you think that I would? Why?
This is where you eat and sleep. This is where you put your hammock.
Yeah, it's kind of in my wheelhouse. It's kind of right in there in my hammock shack.
Yeah.
This is by Jessica Abel. Jessica Abel? It's got to be Abel.
Yeah, I think so.
It's about nonfiction narrative radio. So think This American Life. And how an episode of This American Life and shows like it get made.
Oh.
Jessica Abel spent a really long time with these guys, kind of like looking at their process and how they pitch stories and how they develop stories and how they edit them. I have a podcast problem.
You listen to a lot of podcasts.
I listen to too many podcasts and too much radio. Like a lot. And I want to talk to you guys about it.
Off mic?
Because I need help.
Like we have to have an intervention.
I think we have to do it right now.
It's an imposition. Is that what it's called?
It needs to happen.
Okay.
But I'm really excited about this book. It looks really cool. Jessica Abel has done stuff mastering comics, drawing words, and writing pictures. La Perdita.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think she either is from Ann Arbor or went to University of Michigan.
What?
Yeah. It's totally true. And her husband...
Wait, is this one of these things that you're just saying is true?
No, it's 100% true. And her husband's name is Matt Madden, and he's also, U of M alumni or Ann Arbor dude. Nick's looking it up right now. They used to come in the store all the time, way back in the dizzle.
So that's, Out on the Wire. Check it out. Graphic novel, new this week.
Cool. Background number 43 is out. This is in my top five favorite books coming out right now. Babs Tarr, Killing the Art, Changing the Game. Awesome.
Rest of the top five. Go.
Oh, shit. Rat Queens number one. Rat Queens number one, Manifest Destiny number two, Batgirl number three. Oh man, Secret Wars number four, and Grayson number five.
Wow, well that wasn't really quick, but it was all there.
Yeah,
nice work.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm gonna pick Cyborg number two as another big pull box, a big pick pull box pick.
Really?
Of the week, yeah.
Okay.
I like that Cyborg comic a lot. Ivan Rice, don't sleep on one of the awesomest regular old comic book artists in the world.
Excellent. Rasputin, number eight, came out this
week. Nick, you love Rasputin.
I do love Rasputin. I'm a little predictable this week.
It's okay.
Rolling by the numbers.
You know?
It's more Rasputin. I think maybe Riley Rossmo is starting to phone it in a little bit.
Yep. Oh.
Which happens.
But he's got another book, too, right now, isn't he? He's biting off a little more.
Oh, that might be true, or he might have a new one coming out.
Yeah.
The writing, the pace has slowed down a little bit.
Okay.
It feels, the first five, six issues of this book were, I think, that trade is a real masterpiece. I think the pacing and the tempo of it, fantastic. It's starting to lose its step a little bit, though still super intriguing, and I'm still really liking it.
Okay.
But that's Rasputin, number eight.
Who's the writer on that again?
This is Grecian. The first name escapes me.
Oh.
I want to say Nick Grecian. Am I making that up?
Alec?
It's Alex Grecian.
Alex Grecian. Nice. There we go.
I gave him my own name.
There you go.
Yeah.
Old Man Logan, more Secret Wars coming out this week, written by my man, BMB, Brian Michael Bendis. I'm loving this. I wish Bendis would have written the original Old Man Logan. It's great.
Yeah, I love that comic. The last issue was a cliffhanger. Can't wait to read that one.
Yeah, it's real good.
Hellboy in Hell, number seven, y'all. This is all Mike Mignola, Hellboy. He writes it. He draws it. He used to do that back in the day. Now a lot of other people draw Hellboy.
Right.
It is a...
Dave Stewart doing the colors?
He is. It's such a treat to get a whole comic of Mike Mignola.
It really is.
If you have not tasted of the Mignola, please do. The first trade of this just came out, Volume 1, Hellboy in Hell. It's far into the series. Doesn't matter.
Outstanding.
Check it out.
Curtis, you got me really excited to read and get current on all of Low.
Oh, my goodness. So Low number nine was almost my pick this week. We're trying to do some number ones because we got away from that a little bit. Low's one of the best books on the rack. I got two books that I always recommend. I say it all the time. Southern Bastards, East of West. The third one is Low. It's that good.
It's that good.
I think it's Rick Remender's best book. The art from Greg Tokini is some of the finest art in comic books. It's all over our website.
That guy is fantastic.
It's ridiculously good.
Yeah.
And the latest issue, the plot is thickening. So there's a ton going on in this book. It all makes sense. You know, it's like when you get 6 or 8 issues into Game of Thrones and all the webs and threads start kind of coming together a little bit. But every time they answer 2 questions, they give you, you know, 2 more.
That's how Rick Remender does, man. His stuff, he's one of those dudes that might read better when you can kind of sit back and look at the whole picture and you have time to, you know, it might take him 12 issues to tell the story that he wants to tell.
Yep. No, it's a big, complex, beautiful book.
Yeah.
That's low. Number 9 out this week.
Is that about it, gentlemen, or do we got anything else?
Well, new Arkham Knight, Genesis. So this is a prequel to the video game Arkham Knight. This is how Jason Todd becomes the Arkham Knight. And I thought it was pretty cool. It's really dark. It's so dark.
Excellent.
We got a new Lando this week, y'all. We got a new Civil War. Marcus, you got anything else over there that you want to do?
Last Days of Ant-Man.
Oh, Last Days of Ant-Man. There it is. That's a nice segue.
That was a poll box. Let's move on to the citizen question.
Yes, let's.
Question this week comes from Brandy. Brandy asks, so Ant-Man came out. That's not really a question, but that's how she starts out. So Ant-Man came out and was 6 issues, and then the annual came out. At the end of the annual, there was an ad for Last Days of Ant-Man. Does this mean no more Ant-Man? I'm still getting over Deadpool being gone, and I've really liked Ant-Man so far, and hate to see another cool and funny comic go away. Any thoughts or speculations?
No need to be sad. We got good news.
What is it?
So, Last Days, what that is it's like that last that character's last day before Secret Wars takes place. Before the giant event of Secret Wars takes place.
Right.
So, it is their last day in the old Marvel 616 universe.
Mm.
But it's not the last time you're going to see that character.
So, oh, no.
So, the idea is that Secret Wars is like ending the Marvel universe, both literally because the comics are restarting at number 1.
Yeah.
But also in the fictional universe, like the universe has come to an end.
Well, like it's pretty messed up what's going on in Marvel right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Battleworld is the entire Marvel universe.
Is. That's your universe is. It's different universes all
crammed into one.
Because there was a giant cataclysmic event as detailed in Secret Wars.
Yes.
And then all the what's left of the entire multiverse or whatever they call it in Marvel.
Yeah. I don't know what they call it.
They don't call it the multiverse.
Multiverse is DC, but yeah, what do they call it?
Yeah, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
They've all been smashed into Battleworld.
Yep.
Right? So that was an apocalyptic event. And these Last Days comics, which is like going on across a bunch of different Marvel titles.
Yep. That's almost every book.
Yeah, that's an imprint that they put on like a lot of the ongoing Marvel stuff. Because those books are, everything's getting ready to restart at number 1.
In the wake of, whatever we end up
with
after Secret Wars. Yeah.
And let me say, check out these Last Days books. A lot of them have been really, they've been filled with a lot of heart. Right? Yeah. A lot of these characters are, I mean, essentially they're dying.
Right.
If they don't make it into the battle world or a version of them from another universe does, that's it.
Yep.
Goodbye, amigo.
Yeah. And some of them are like, the creative teams are staying on and some of their stories will just continue, I'm sure.
Essentially.
Right?
Yeah.
Like some of them are just going to keep going. Like I can't imagine they're going to change Ms. Marvel that much.
Yeah, but
or like the ongoing continuity, right?
Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah, but so the they're changing all these with all new, all different Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
The Kitty Pryde in that one, not the Kitty Pryde that we just saw in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Is it the Kitty Pryde of Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde?
No, she dies.
Oh,
remember in
right.
Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde, the Battleworld book, it starts off with him being like, the Kitty Pryde from my universe is dead. She didn't make it.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's a Kitty Pryde from a different universe that has different superpowers.
She's got weird, like, X-23 claws.
Right, so that Kitty Pryde could be the one in the new Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, but they're going to just, like, snow globe this whole thing anyway. It's all going to get mixed up. Some stuff's going to keep going.
Right.
Some characters are going to be totally different. And so, Brandy, don't panic. Everything's okay. That Last Days thing is just, it's what they're putting on these books as kind of a, it is an imprint to get you ready for this new relaunch.
Yep.
And the new relaunch is called All New, All Different Marvel Now.
Yeah.
Wait, did they say now?
I don't know if they say now.
I think it's just All New, All Different Marvel.
Yeah. Which is still stupid.
Yeah, not a good name.
Plenty enough words.
Yeah. And that is starting up in October?
Yeah.
It's coming up.
Some of them.
Okay.
But in this Ant-Man one that just came out this week, the end of that book, I mean, it's not good.
Yeah.
So this one felt like kind of a, I don't know, I mean, they just kind of like injected that in there. Like, he's having a day. He's having an Ant-Man adventure.
Right.
It's an ongoing part of the Ant-Man. Like, it's a direct in continuity with Ant-Man, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's nothing out of the ordinary for what's been going on in that book. And then, boom, Apocalypse.
Right.
Basically.
Did you read the Ms. Marvel one?
No.
Yeah, a lot of these books are kind of like that.
They're just, like, going, and then...
And then Secret Wars happens.
Yeah.
And we don't know if that Ms. Marvel... I mean, with Ms. Marvel, I'm not too worried that they're going to change it.
Yeah.
But, like, with Ant-Man, when they redo Ant-Man and All New, All Different, that could be an Ant-Man from a different universe very easily with the way they leave Ant-Man Last Days.
Yeah.
That being said, Marvel is a business.
Yeah.
If they have a character that's working for them, I would not expect them to pull a real switcheroo on you.
I'll agree with you.
Kamala Khan in All New, All Different Marvel, it's going to be Kamala Khan, the Kamala Khan you know and love.
Yeah. So there's something similar happened with Daredevil the last time they did a big Marvel shakeup when they moved over to Marvel Now.
Yeah.
And they renumbered it. And a lot of stuff got canceled. And a lot of, like, big cataclysmic events happened. And then Daredevil just kept going.
Right.
They changed it to number one, and the story just kept going.
Yeah.
Yep. Same writer, same artist.
Yep.
You could have called it the next number, whatever, 37 or whatever. Yep. Yeah.
So... Don't worry about Ant-Man. Maybe worry about some of them.
Yeah.
Maybe worry about some of these books.
I'm very interested to see what they're going to do with Kitty Pryde. Because in the new Guardians of the Galaxy relaunch, we know that Star-Lord is no longer with the Guardians of the Galaxy. Kitty Pryde takes his place.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, which one? Because we know Kitty Pryde from 616, dead.
And how many Kitty Prydes are rolling around Battle World, just shuffling around?
Yeah.
There could be dozens.
There's probably four or five of them.
Right. That's so cool.
Like the thing in Thor's, right?
Yeah.
With all the Jane Fosters, like tons of them, right? So we don't know.
Jane Foster did fine in Battle World. Well, until whatever's happening in Thor's went down. But like Jane Foster from like a lot of different universes made it into Battle World.
Yeah. Yep.
Not everybody made the cut.
Exactly.
I think it's really cool. And I think these books, the Last Day books have a lot of heart. They put a lot of effort into them. I haven't read a really bad one yet.
Yeah. And they are unlike a lot of, because usually what you see with these big crossover events is like the creators will not write or not always write the crossover imprint version of their book.
Yep.
So for instance, you know, Siege X-Men is probably not going to be written by whoever's like the X-Men team is.
Yeah. Or not necessarily. Definitely.
Yeah. And sometimes it is and sometimes it's not. But it seems like the creators are just like writing the conclusion of their story before the relaunch happens.
Yeah. Editorial at Marvel seems to have a strangely awesome handle on all of this.
It's really comforting and very cool.
I don't understand it. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
I'm reading so many Secret Wars books and who is overlording this thing?
Yeah,
because it's almost always working. It's a lot of books.
Yep.
I hope they do a couple neat switcheroos, though. I think it'd be cool. So from what I can tell, the Logan that is going to be an all-new, all-different Logan, or all-new, all-different Marvel, is going to be Old Man Logan.
Yes, that's what it seems
from
like.
Some of the art. So I hope they do a couple of these switcheroos. Like the Bucky Barnes of this new Marvel universe, I would love for them to like pull the Runaways Bucky Barnes. Mm-hmm. It's like a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
I think that'd be really cool. So I hope they take a chance on some of them. It looks like they're gonna with Wolverine. And I love that. I love the idea of Old Man Logan being in the regular Marvel universe. That dude's been through a lot.
Because we have no Wolverine.
We have no Wolverine. And he's a different Wolverine.
That's true.
Than our traditional Logan.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a rough go of it. So yeah, I hope they do a couple weird switcheroos. I think they're gonna with Kitty Pryde, and I can tell they're gonna do it with Logan. And I think that's awesome.
Hmm. So Bucky Barnes, Man on the Wall. No more. Bucky Barnes, Hall Monitor.
That's
is the new.
But I think it'd be like so
he is
like,
pretty cool.
It'd be cool if like Steve Rogers, old man Steve Rogers, was like, look, in another life, you and I had a weird history. I'm gonna take you under my wing and try to make sure that doesn't happen again. That'd be sweet. I'd read that comic in a heartbeat.
That'd be
really neat.
You're theory crafting.
I do that. I can't help myself.
You're theory crafting about
don't stop.
Old heroes taking younger heroes under their wing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This hasn't happened.
Never happened before.
This is not a thing that's happening in Marvel.
Never.
But in Marcus's mind.
Yeah. Man, I hope they take a chance. I think they will.
Yeah.
Well, Brandy, and there's also some more Deadpool comics coming, too.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a really cool-looking one, Deadpool versus Thanos, which I can't wait for.
Yeah. So we're going to spend some time next week talking about all new, all different Marvel,
yes.
as per another citizen question.
Mm.
And dive into some of the new creative teams and some of the new titles. It's going to be cool.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited. We spent a lot of time talking about Marvel on this podcast.
That's true.
And it's because they've got their shit together, I think.
The ducks in a row.
Yeah. They're putting out a lot of really good books, and they make me care about like the continuity of the universe.
What year is this?
We're in the year of our Lord, 2015 right now.
Oh, right. Yeah. Marvel. I can't think of a better year for Marvel Comics in my time as a...
Than 2015?
As a comic retailer and
really?
A comic lover.
You know, you might be right about that.
They're smashing it
they
in
are.
A way that's... I don't know. Whoever's in charge over there. It's Alex Alonso and their editorial team. You know, and all the talent that they've hired, obviously, but... Crap, man. They're doing it.
You got your wheels turning over there, Marcus. What are you braining on over
there? Well, I just find it interesting. So, like, Spider-Gwen was a secret hit. I mean, I think they knew she was going to be a hit, but I don't think anyone knew Spider-Gwen was going to be as big as she was during Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
People lost their bananas about it.
They did.
So then they wanted to capitalize, and they came out with a Spider-Gwen, but it was in a different universe. But now Spider-Gwen's going to be in the same universe as Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And has it been planned all along?
No.
I think it's a little reactionary on Spider-Gwen. But what a cool way to be able to do that.
Well, and the cool thing is that they're reacting in the right ways. They put out a Spider-Gwen, and it gets traction. People love it. And they're like, yeah, let's go with
this.
Let's
make this book.
Yeah, people like Kamala Khan. Hey.
Yeah.
Let's turn up the volume on Kamala Khan. That is really cool.
My favorite Kamala Khan was when she made a guest appearance in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think it's issue 2 or 3.
That's a great issue.
Yeah. That was some of the best Kamala I've seen. And I love that they're willing to take the chance with it and do the crossover right.
She dropped into Amazing Spider-Man, issues 8 and 9. You guys remember that
one? Yeah, that was cool.
Killer.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's very strange. So,
kudos, Marvel.
If you had said, 2015, Marvel, that if you had told me even a year ago,
yeah,
that in 2015 in Obama's America, I would be the Secret Wars would be that a big Marvel crossover event was going to be one of the best things coming out.
And I remember when Secret Wars got announced, our kind of reaction at the shop was like, "Man, you did this."
Well, we were just coming off a stinker. What was the one before this? Was it AVX?
No. Ooh. It was it was the one with everyone's on the wall. That was like the whole setup of the
original
wall.
Sin.
Original
Who
Sin.
Who shot the Watcher?
Yeah, which was kind of doo-doo.
Yeah, it was not good.
I remember liking like the first four a whole lot.
I know, but that's all crossovers.
Yeah, exactly.
You like the first few.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then all the crossovers are who cares.
And all the tie-ins were like, whatever.
Exactly.
Yep.
And then the main one is like, oh, cool idea. Can't wait to see where they go with it until they go somewhere with it.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
And it's nowhere.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we spent a lot of time talking about it, but it's kind of weird.
Yep.
This is a unique moment. Crossovers, especially coming off Multiversity.
Yeah. And it's cool to just be like excited about a comic-ass comic book.
Yep. Agreed.
With all the cool indie stuff that's coming out and all the creator-owned stuff that's coming out.
Yeah. Yep.
It's cool to be excited about just like Old Man Logan and Thor's.
Exactly.
Know? My favorite thing about this whole Secret Wars thing is like sometimes when I pitch the books to people, it makes it sound like I really work in a comic shop, like Planet Hulk.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you should check out this book. It's Captain America's a gladiator, and he rides around in a dinosaur and fights Hulks all day long. Like, that's something you would imagine someone made up, but it's one of my favorite Marvel, Weird World.
Yeah.
Explaining that to a customer in the shop makes me feel like I work in a really dope comic
and
shop.
Yeah, and some people are into it, and some people, their eyes just glaze right over.
Totally.
But I love talking about Doom God.
Yeah.
Man,
I love doing that.
I hope there's a cool poster or something at the end of it, like an Alex Ross Doom God poster that I can just hang on a wall. Because this Victor Von Doom, we talk about how awesome Doom is all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But this Doom is so good. It hurts.
Yeah, Jonathan Hickman knows how to write
Victor Von Doom.
Doom. Anyway, don't worry about Last Days. Everything's going to be okay. Stay tuned for next week. We're going to get into the all new, all different stuff.
Yeah.
Let's do a really quick wrap up with Cult Express.
Yes, let's.
What do you guys think?
I love it.
So, Curtis?
I was going to say, is this board game corner time?
Let's move into the board game corner time.
Okay. Old time board game corner time.
Yeah. So, Cult Express was the Spiel des Jahres 2015 winner. Hey.
What's that mean? What's a Spiel des Jahres?
Game of the Year.
Oh.
It is the biggest board game prize in the world,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of contention about what that means, and whether it's actually the best game of the year, whether it's, it's a contentious award for super dorks like me.
I see.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it, Nick, personally?
Well, so it's always a family-friendly game.
Yeah.
Almost always. It's a game that, in theory, absolutely everybody can play.
Right.
And in theory, it has a lot of depth, but it's very simple, and you can play it with kids maybe as young as like 8 or 10,
mm-hmm.
but that enthusiast will also enjoy.
I see.
Can you rattle off a couple of the previous winners so we can get a little idea?
Oh, so last year's winner would have been what? Concept was nominated. Why is it escaping my brain? What was the winner last year?
I don't know. Hanabi was recently, is that right?
Hanabi was 2 years ago.
Okay.
Wait, I can pull this up here. Camel Up.
Yeah, that's right.
Of course. Hanabi was the year before that. Kingdom Builder.
Oh.
Other things that have won this award, and like Ticket to Ride has won this award.
Sure.
Carcassonne.
Carcassonne has won this award.
Right.
Alhambra. These big staple games.
Yeah.
You know? And there was a time when this was a marker of like, if this... Dominion, I think, definitely won Spiel des Jahres.
Yeah, it did indeed.
And there was a time when, like, winning this award, like, you knew that game was going to be sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And now, all that awards really means is that we're going to sell a lot of copies of that game.
That's true.
I think they've determined that, like, winning a Spiel des Jahres awards equates to... Oh, so this is on this page here. So it moves up to 300,000 to 500,000 copies sold just by winning the award.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, board games do not sell like that. That's a crazy amount.
Sure.
I wonder if it's like the Oscars in some way, where like these companies are lobbying the judges. Because you always hear about this with the Oscars, you know, they'll like send them prize packages and whatnot.
Yeah. And some years you get to like hear about the politics and stuff that like went behind like, you know, winner, you know, the nominees getting split in the votes and like so a game wins that doesn't maybe shouldn't win.
Oh.
They've recently introduced the Kenner Spiel des Jahres a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, which is like the enthusiast's game of the year, which is like more complicated games.
A little more hardcore.
Yeah, yeah, a little bit more rules, a little bit more bite to them.
Right.
Is that Battle of Normandy this year?
Oh, let's have a look. The winner of the Connoisseur Game of the Year is how they put it here.
Ooh.
Broom Service was the Kenner Spiel des Jahres. And some really good games have won that Kenner Spiel des Jahres. So anyway, all that's to say that the winner this year was Colt Express.
Choo choo.
You play. You did that without even a toothbrush in your mouth.
You just wait till I bring my toothbrush next week.
Will you please bring it?
Oh, I'm bringing it.
Okay.
I look forward to that.
What do you think? You played it. What do you think of it?
So I am biased in the fact that I love almost everything Wild West themed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sucker. And there's not a lot of Wild West. There's some. But and we've talked about this before. Board games will go through theme like moments for a
phases.
While. Yeah, it was Egyptian. Yep. It's almost always medieval Europe is a kind of a staple.
Yeah.
Sci-fi gets its shining glory. And it seems like right now we're getting a little bit of a Wild West kick. You know, Doomworld.
Doomtown. Yep.
This one. I thoroughly enjoyed it. The board is literally a train.
A 3D train.
Really?
Yep.
You have to put it together.
Wow.
It's part of the best part of the... Like, it's a good game. I loved punching out and putting that train together.
It was fun.
It sounds awesome.
It's so great. I like this game. It has a certain level of chaos, which normally is not my jam. Via V Flux, and we didn't play test this at all. That chaos usually... Because I'm a very strategy-minded person when I play board games. But Colt Express, the theme is so good, and there is strategy behind it. I thought this game was an absolute blast.
It's very themey. The premise is that we're all robbing a train.
Ooh.
And then as soon as we get on the train, we decide that we don't want to share any of the loot anymore. So we immediately turn on each other and start punching each other and shooting each other.
Wow.
So the game works over the course of like these phases where you plan your actions. You put out cards, you're like, this is what I'm going to do when it gets to the action phase, and everybody has to plan everything out before anybody does anything.
And you do all this in secret.
You do all this. Some of it's public, some of it's secret,
okay.
Depending on kind of the nature of the round.
Yep.
But everybody programs out their actions, the entire group, for like 4 or 5 turns. And,
oh.
then we flip over the deck of cards, and we see how those actions play out.
Yeah.
It's really, really interesting. So it reminds me of Camel Up in some ways, because it's chaotic.
Yeah.
But... if you work it, you can build a strategy. If you're paying attention to what everybody's doing, and if you really want to get into it, you can think about where you want to be physically. Because you have a little dude, and he's physically on the train.
Yep.
He's going to physically move around the train and shoot stuff and steal stuff.
It's in my mind, it's kind of a mix of Camel Up and Cash and Guns.
Yeah, a little bit.
Is how I viewed it when I played it.
Yeah.
It's
also like that game Space Alert.
Because
you're programming.
I love that game.
That's a great game.
No one plays that game.
That
it's
is a
so
very
good.
Complicated and very good game.
I played it one time when it came out, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Anyway, man, we could just talk about Space Alert for so long, but we won't.
We gotta play Space Alert, boy.
Yeah.
Hey,
we should.
Can I say that I love Camel Up? So you guys are really selling me on this game.
And when I say that it's like Camel Up, it's that it can be really silly and dumb, and you can just like, hey, I shot you. Hey, you punched me. You just took my money, and that's right. That's fun. Like that's how I was playing.
Yeah.
And I got my ass whooped.
Right.
And one of the dudes that I was playing with was thinking about every turn and thinking about where everybody was, and like he was like a savant. He was just like the matrixing around this train.
Does this person do this all the time in every game?
I think that he's beaten me every single time that I've played a game with him. Yeah, I'm terrible at board games.
Shut.
No, I objectively am terrible at board games.
Is that true?
I think you're being modest.
I'm not being modest. This is not false modesty. I'm not fishing for compliments. I suck at board
games. Nick, you're really good at board games.
I'm really good at learning board games.
I see.
I really know how to read a real book.
You're pretty good at teaching board games too, buddy.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Nick, 1 out of 10 Gunsmoke revolvers. What do you rate this game?
Well, I want to play it one more time, but I had so much fun on that first playthrough. It was much goofier than I thought it was going to be. I'm giving it an 8, I think.
An 8. So I think for me, the winning statement there is that Nick's going to play it a second time.
That's high praise.
Being board game guys in the retail industry, we don't get the luxury all that often.
Don't
no,
to play
true.
A game a second time.
Move on. Get a new game. Next yeah. game.
It's true.
So you would unskin your smoke wagon.
For
a second time.
That sounds so dirty.
What's a smoke wagon?
Smoke wagon's your gun, son.
Why do you... Oh, I see what you're
saying. Let's say you got your smoke wagon out, then somebody might say, you might want to skin that smoke wagon.
Why is it a wagon?
I don't...
Going on a ride to...
You know?
Don't fuck with me.
I'm just here to crack off Wild West euphemisms.
Unskin your smoke
wagon. I think an 8's a very fair rating for that game.
Yeah.
Just, like, sitting around a table putting the train together, in my mind, is part of the game.
Yeah,
because you get excited like as it starts to become a thing, and once you set it up, I found that when I played, like everyone was in the mood. As soon as you see that 3D train, everyone's ready to play.
It definitely
does. Game.
It doesn't look like any other. So it's you're totally right. It's not like we're sitting down and there's a board of stuff that you've seen a million times. Like no, there's a little train and there's all these little like terrain. Like there's cacti.
I love everything
and
you're
bushes
saying.
And little armadillos that they don't do anything in the game.
Nope, nothing.
You just set them
outside. Little set dressing.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
That is
oh,
awesome.
We should get like a recording of a train and just like play it and there's.
I'll record my toothbrush sounds.
Wow.
For you, because we're friends.
All right, excellent. So that's Cult Express. Spiel die Yaris.
So I want to play this game. So I love theme heavy games, you dudes.
And yeah,
I am all. That's my favorite kind of game because I'm a really shitty board game player. So I like games like that are really theme heavy.
Yeah,
which usually means they might be a little lighter in the mechanics department. And it's a 3D train.
This is the game for you, buddy.
This sounds like my game.
I feel like I had the hang of this game, at least the rules, 2 turns in.
Very simple.
Everyone was on the same page.
Very simple. Yeah. You're just moving and shooting.
Yep.
All right.
That's Cult Express. Currently out of stock.
This always happens with Spiel des Jahres winners, though.
Yep, because they win and they don't know they're going to win. And who's ready to sell 500,000 copies of a board game?
Yeah.
Nobody is.
That's right. That's just like our book of the month every time.
You guys know
our book of the month. We were going to pick a book this month. It's out of print again.
Yeah, we were getting ready to. We were just talking about this yesterday.
It's like every single book of the month for the history of the Book of the Month Club. Was it like 2 years?
That's right. But we always end up picking a good one. What's our book of the month for September, Marcus?
We're doing Wrenchies.
Oh.
One of Nick Wybar's favorite books.
Oh.
Yeah, we're doing Wrenchies. I'm excited for this one to be our book of the month because I would say it's different than any book we've chosen before.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to push the boundaries of people who are traditional comic book readers, but the story is so damn good you can't set it down.
The art will also make you crazy with joy.
Yeah.
It looks so pretty.
It's a great book.
Feral Dalrymple.
Yep.
Yeah. He good.
Whose name I can't
And we're entering Fantastical Fall is our theme for
Ooh.
The next 3 months.
So we can look forward to other fantasy titles
throughout
the fall.
Oh, man. This next 3 month stint for the board or for the book club is it's a action-packed month here. It's going to be great.
It's fantasy-packed.
Well,
action fantasy.
Not all the books are fantasy. I wouldn't put them in the...
They're fantastical.
They're fantastical, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Oh, right. Man, Wrenchies is so damn good. I can't wait. There are a couple customers in my mind, traditional comic book customers, that I'm going to try to woo into buying this book.
Yeah.
Because I know I was very scared to read this book. I didn't think I was going to like it, but it won me over quickly.
Nice.
Absolutely. The last thing that we'll note here is that we're wearing Super Skull hats.
We are.
Well, you two are still wearing yours. My head got sweaty, so
it's hot.
I took
up in
mine
here.
Off. But they are here. They look spectacular. They are on sale now.
They are.
Do we have a price set on these bad boys?
We don't, but
it'll be up really soon.
For as nice as this hat is, you will be shocked.
Yeah.
You will be aghast. Aghast?
No, a gasp is good.
I hope someone
at the cheapness
asks Curtis Caviar Sullivan to sign the brim.
Somebody did?
No, I want someone to.
Oh.
I'm sure somebody
No.
Will.
Yeah.
No.
Will you sign it, Caviar Onassis?
I will.
You're a superstar. You
Caviar
you've earned that.
Onassis.
You've earned that signature, man.
Thanks, yep. Pal.
So hats will be forthcoming to the people that we've promised them to. We got a couple of people, the hats are on the way. And as you send in your questions and as you send us mail and nice things, you might find yourself the recipient of a Super Skull hat.
That's true.
Because they exist now.
We take cookies, letters.
Don't say that. Don't say we take cookies. We're going to wind up with a bunch of cookies.
Oh.
Trying to lose the weight, man.
Oh.
Trying to lose the weight.
So then brownies.
What?
Like yeah, our pie.
Exactly.
Okay.
And on that note, we end another issue of Super Skull, the Vault of Midnight podcast. You can hear us every Wednesday wherever podcasts are found. Our music was created by A-Bomb. Our logo was designed by Philip Wong, who helped design our hat. Oh, and the new Super Skull t-shirt, which is also being printed right now
as
we speak.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's so dope.
Which looks really good. We'll put a little teaser image of that on the website, probably. Our producer is Rachel Polk, as always. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Super Skull Show is our handle. You can check out our website, superskullshow.com. You can send us questions that we will answer as previously discussed. Go ahead and log on to iTunes. Leave us a review if you could. It really helps people find the podcast. It helps us spread the word. And subscribe to us on iTunes if you don't already. Those downloads really mean a lot. Every time one of the episodes download, Marcus, it makes his heart happy.
Super happy.
Yeah, he smiles a little bit. I'm like, Marcus, what's going on? You okay?
Another download.
Oh, he's got a download?
Yeah, just got a download.
And I can always tell. Super Skull is brought to you by Vault of Midnight, Earth's finest comic books and stuff since 1996. This is Nick Weibar for Marcus Schwimmer and Curtis Sullivan wishing you good reading. Until next week.
Yes, it's a harsh critique.
Bummer.
Yeah. It's true.
That's how bad he sucks.
The news today.
That dude sucks.
Life's about to change.
What are you singing right now?
With arms wide open.
What the fuck are you singing?
It's Creed.
Oh, that's Creed.
That's Creed, yeah.
Why do you know that?
Everyone in my age knows that song. Every single person my age knows that song.
Bummer.
With arms wide open.
You guys can sing as much Creed as you want, and if we could talk about
prayer.
Yeah,
where is this checklist?
I can't be fazed.
Well, I know, it's just such a catchy tune, right?
So, is there words to the tune? Because to me, when you guys sing it, it's like, and hell, my from
that's it,
and welcome down, baby.
Yeah, that's it.